Tony.
Once again from Reese Pfeiffer Hall, it's another exciting episode of the Alabama Frozen Hour. Light on the host today, but we'll get to preview all of the brackets for the Alabama teams that are in College Hockey South. More hype surrounding the first ever remote show for the podcast, and we've got an odd topic that may or may not break some opinions, may or may not break some spirits, or why are you talking about this when you've got a great restaurant lined up for the next week for the remote show? Should be really fun. Welcome to everyone watching or listening around the world. I'm Spencer Thompson alongside Preston McElhaney. Proud to be with you in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Hannah Alpern, as we record this, is getting her passport right now. She was originally going to be on the podcast last week. And then, of course, we know how long those passport times process here in the United States. So you have to really get ahead of the curb there and make sure you submitted everything as early on as you can. And unfortunately, she won't be with us for the remote show on Monday night, which we'd love to have her, but she's got scheduling conflicts. So we'll get her on the podcast at some point. It's just been a unfortunate scheduling events. Kate Aitchison will make her spring semester debut for the podcast on Monday for the remote show, as she has a class during our regular recording times here on Tuesday afternoons. And as well as Will Morrow is out. He had another scheduling conflict. So we tried to get a guest on today. It's a weird time on Tuesday afternoon, even though it's available for the majority of us to be able to do the podcast. But Preston and I, much like the GAM broadcast, we are by ourselves. You getting irritated on me at this point?
Nah.
Ah, fair enough. Fair enough. I'm glad at least we've established that. We've heard that. But Preston alongside, as we'll get to preview all of the tournaments, there are a lot of answers and question marks that were tied up. We were talking about this during the South Carolina series this past weekend, or 2 weekends ago, I should say. And we were wondering, how are things going to shake out for the playoffs in terms of clinching playoff berths, in terms of clinching seeds, and how things were going to wrap up? And we got a lot of those answers, especially on the women's bracket. We know all the teams that are going and have clinched. On the Division I men's side, we know which teams are going. They've clinched. We're not talking about the Division II scene for College Hockey South, because don't have any Alabama teams that are participating in it, so it doesn't really make any sense for us to kind of highlight those. But for Division III, though I will say, shout out to my alma mater, Middle Tennessee State University, for clinching a playoff berth in the Division II bracket. So that's the only mention you'll get of that on there. What we can clinch in club hockey, we can't get the job done in Bryant Denny for football, as of a couple years ago, or pretty much any time, because I don't think Bama's ever traveled up to Murfreesboro for that game. It's always been here in Tuscaloosa, if I'm not mistaken.
I'm sure it has. I mean, maybe many decades ago, you know, like back when it was more common to go on the road for those little games.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Nowadays, it's just Bama gets a home opener in late August, and they get a home opener, and they're never going to travel on the road as of now. But Division III side, we'll look at how the North teams for that bracket have all clinched spots, but the South still has some remaining playoff situations that are going down. But first things first, Preston, how about Alabama clinching in all of the brackets that they are in? Women's Division I and Division III, three out of the four teams here in club hockey at the capstone, clinching playoff berths a couple of weeks out from, at least 1 week out from the Division I women's scene, but the D3 team, all of them are headed to the postseason.
Absolutely. Congratulations to all three teams. I know it was kind of a little close call for the Division I team, but they still made it, and that's a roll tide in my book. So all three teams made it. Good stuff. Obviously, the women's team being the highest of all of those in terms of like seeding, they are the number two seed, from my understanding, in the women's division. Great stuff. They got just two more games that were played as opposed to number one seed Tampa, but unfortunately they lost both of those games. So it kind of just came down to the evened out who had the more losses, and it just happened to be Alabama. So they're currently tied with 16 points each. in the standings. So I'm excited to see how all three of these teams do, the women's team specifically, since that's the one we're always calling, and we've been following them closely all season. So I can't wait to see how that goes. Other than that, just good stuff for all the Alabama teams.
Yeah, we talked about this, how all the teams have clinched, and you can look at collegehockeysouth.com. They have on their website, they have all of the brackets and the schedules and everything. So that tournament is taking place February 7th through 9th in Athens, Georgia, at the new Akins Ford Arena, which I'm excited to, because I work with College Hockey South, and we're, as of recording this, we're still finalizing the broadcast plans and media side for how that's going to play out. All the games are going to be on the College Hockey South YouTube channel, and to my knowledge, I'll be working the tournament and honored and privileged to be a part of that. But first, they just opened that arena within the last couple of weeks, like or at least this month or in December. So going over to Athens and seeing a brand new state-of-the-art collegiate hockey tournament collegiate hockey tournament that is being played at a college hockey venue in the South I'm really excited to see the, and I think you'll be maybe covering it with USA Hockey, if I'm not mistaken, right?
My plan is to also be in attendance. I will be with AAU Hockey covering for not the College Hockey South playoffs, but like for the national playoffs. I do plan on being there covering for the Upstate New
March.
York Collegiate Hockey League. Good stuff there, and who knows, maybe we might cross paths with some CHS teams.
I'm sure we will. It depends on how stuff, you know, plays out going into March, and kind of works as well that the tournaments are around Alabama's spring break, too. We at least get like a week break in between before we start going to those ones.
Yeah, it'll be a fun time. I'm kind of ready for the postseason. It's nice to have one of those, you know, trips to Florida of all places, because it's a little warmer. I mean, I know they just had that big snowstorm not even a week ago, but it'll nice to be in a little warmer climate.
So the tournament occurring Friday, Saturday, and Sunday for the women's tournament, which we'll talk about that first. Mentioned how right now, at least in terms of order for how the teams are, Tampa, I guess, has the tiebreaker because of having no losses on the season. Alabama having two, one of those being to South Carolina, four College Hockey South standings. And the other one, they did lose to Tampa, but that was in the rescheduled Columbus Classic. That does not affect College Hockey South standings. But regardless, Tampa and Alabama both have first-round byes, at least as it stands right now. Tampa with the number one overall seed. Alabama at number two, so they will play on Saturday. Tampa playing the lowest seed winner from Friday's matchups. Alabama will play the highest seed, which we mentioned. Don't be surprised if we have a potential rematch of South Carolina. Now, first things first. We had a lot of question marks wondering about South Carolina and Miami and Georgia on that sort of borderline on if it would have any effect on postseason play. But we have the matchups now. South Florida is going to play Georgia, the number three seed against six, and then South Carolina will face off against Auburn. And to my knowledge, they haven't decided what the orders of the games are. It just says game one and two, and the bracket doesn't have that disclosed yet. But either way, both of those matchups, I'm really intrigued because I haven't seen South Florida from the women's matchups, but you look at a team that's 7-3, right in the mix, and probably if you have them face off against this Alabama or Tampa team, would be one of those closer matchups. But first things first, they have to get through Georgia, which, even though Alabama had a one-sided victory against them and they're the number one seed, you know, especially better than anyone, when you have these teams that get hot down the stretch of the postseason and trying to push through, because Georgia does play South Carolina for their regular season finale this weekend. So could be one way of potentially losing to the Gamecocks or getting a victory that can push their momentum heading into the postseason. So this matchup in the first round between South Florida and Georgia, really intriguing to see.
Yeah, and, you know, this South Carolina team is something I've been talking about for a while now after that was our last game. We talked about it a bunch last week. And when you look at this Auburn team and you look at this Georgia team, you know, you look at South Carolina and you just know they're better. And we've played all three of these and we've seen it firsthand. I think it's safe to say that South Carolina is probably the one that is tightly contested with Alabama the most. They've played the most games with Alabama. They've kind of seen what, you know, there is to work with when it comes to the Frozen Tide. You know, we did play that scary Georgia game early on in the season. I do remember that. But I think when you look at the rest of these teams compared to Alabama going into the postseason, I think they all have a legitimate shot to go all the way. This will just come down to who makes the least amount of mistakes.
Yeah.
And this is going to be a really, especially because those last three spots with South Carolina, Auburn, and Georgia, I think it's going to be a really tightly contested postseason between that side of the bracket.
The only way that the Gamecocks would face off against Alabama is if Georgia pulls the upset against South Florida. However, we talked about how this Gamecocks team, especially with how tightly contested all four of those matchups were against Frozen Tide, it very well could be a rematch between those two, but make no mistake, you have to get through Tampa if you're on either side of the bracket, or you have to get through Alabama. But first things first, if things shape out the way that the seeds show, is if 3 and 4 advance, then you would have South Florida playing against Alabama and then Tampa against South Carolina. Both really exciting matchups to see, especially in primetime on Saturday.
Yeah, and I think you look at the top of the bracket, you got Tampa, Alabama, South Florida. These are all teams that were able to get over that 5-win hump. They are teams that show a lot of consistency. They are teams that kind of go into their games with a really headstrong mentality. I know Tampa especially, because they're not intimidated by no one. They look at the games and they see, okay, this might be an easy win for us, or they, you know, might suffer a little bit from, you know, road traveling, and then it's like, okay, but we got this team in game two, yeah, or for whatever it may be. You know, Alabama's had to deal with that this season, and I'm sure South Florida has too. And then you look at Tampa, who has 8 games in total, and you wonder, you know, they might have gotten the first seed in because they have no losses, but will having more games under their belt provide for a better experience with teams like Alabama and South Florida? Will they have more confidence going in because they have more experience? You know, those are things to kind of look forward to when you're looking at teams like Tampa. So maybe, you know, that lack of games played might come out and bite them in the long run. It's one of those things you just never know until you watch.
It is set to be a good tournament. The second edition ever of the women's tournament and the second year ever for the women's division of college hockey in CHS, and should be exciting. And to my knowledge, I believe it's either the top team champion and or the runner-up are eligible to go to the AAU Nationals tournament, if I'm not mistaken. So a lot on the line, not just in the sense of a CHS tournament championship, especially for several of these teams that are just starting out in their young teams' respective histories, but certainly because of this being the Alabama Frozen Hours, you could see the Sanskrit here. This is a historical run that we've seen thus far from the Crimson Tide, and it's continuing to build momentum. It's continuing to progress to what the team has said from day one: goal is a national championship. They got to first get through this gauntlet of the College Hockey South tournament, and they give themselves a little bit of relief because they have a first round bye. And I also wonder, and I think I've talked to the coaches, they haven't made any decision on this yet, but I wonder if it's advantageous for them to still go out to Athens for that first tournament day to see who they're going to play and see what the first round matchups are. Not sure you can watch them on YouTube, but there's certainly, as we know, there's a big difference between watching games in person than on YouTube. But I wonder, even with this first round bye, if they travel out on Thursday so they can give themselves time to adjust to not necessarily the time zone because it's only an hour or hour further because of Eastern time, but adjust to the environment, get themselves prepared, and actually get live footage in front of them of what they're going to face off against in the semifinals.
Yeah, and we've talked a lot about these coaches all season. You know, they are not people that look at all of these games like, oh, we'll just try our best and we'll most likely come out with a W. Like, no, these are coaches that take everything one game at a time, and they do a lot of in-depth studying, and they make sure that they know what they're getting into before each game, and a lot of that attributes to their success they've had this season. So when I think it comes to, like, maybe scouting out a Georgia team like that, that's absolutely something that they could potentially do because, you know, Coach Davis and Coach Laxton, like, they are focused hard on this postseason. Like, there's arguably nobody else that wants to come out with total victory than them, given the fact that this is only the second season of the women's playoffs and only the first season of Alabama women's hockey. And it's just so important to them for a variety of reasons. So I think they're going to do a phenomenal job when it comes to making sure they're prepared for the postseason.
Yeah, Anya talked about in their introductory posts on social media of how her goal was to establish standards and processes for the team to lay it down for future generations. And I got to tell you, those standards and processes are really hard to beat at this point, especially from her and Coach Davis and Coach Tebby, as well as Nick Reniger, and the great job that they've done thus far. And hopefully it culminates into everything that they're aspiring to achieve. And we've talked about this on several episodes as well, about how you feel that there may not be a team in AAU that could really beat this Alabama Frozen Tide team, but it's one of those that we'll have to see how it plays out. But that's the women's tournament that'll happen Friday, February 7th through Sunday, February 9th, and all those games will be on the College Hockey South YouTube page. Let's move on to the Division I men's bracket, which is happening that same weekend and on the same rink, so it's going to be hockey frenzy with back-to-back-to-back games every single day, and should be a lot of fun to watch those matchups. But for Division I, all of the seeds look like they have been clinched, as well as you have the tiebreakers that have seemed to be set on the Division I men's bracket. So we'll break it down for you. And this is also on the College Hockey South website for you to look at as well. Georgia has clinched the number one overall seed with 22 points right now. They get a first round bye. So do the Volunteers of Tennessee in the number two seed slot with 19 points at a record of 9-2. There was a tie in the amount of wins between Tampa and South Carolina at 6 and 14 points, but based on the I believe the losses record as well as overtime loss, that Tampa only has two losses and one loss in overtime, as well as one tie that they ended their games with. They end the season at 14 points and have the tiebreaker over South Carolina to get the number 3 seed and to give the Gamecocks number 4. But as we mentioned, Alabama has clinched the final playoff spot there over Auburn. There are only 7 teams in the Division I bracket. So with that, Tampa will face off against Alabama in the first round on Friday, February 7th. And the other quarterfinal will be between South Carolina and Florida. I tell you, this is one of those tournaments. You could look at it one of two ways because, yes, Alabama is resting at 1 win, 7 losses, 1 tie, and 1 overtime loss and only 4 points. You can look at it as, well, they just kind of got into the postseason because Auburn only had 1 win with 2 points, and the Auburn Tigers have not really been up to their standard in the men's bracket. However, you could also look at this as a new rebirth because postseason, it's 0-0-0. No wins, no losses, no ties. None of that matters as it's all thrown out the door. So this could be, as much as Tampa has been good during the season, Alabama could potentially make a run for their own in that Division I men's bracket.
Yeah, and I think Alabama was gifted a very great opportunity here because now they're kind of going into the postseason with something to prove, because what you have here is an Alabama team and a Florida team that have both made the playoffs with losing records, which is kind of an extra motivation to want to take the whole thing home, especially for Alabama with just that 1 win, because now you're looking at it and it's like, oh, well, you know, we've been laughed at all season, so what if we just go in there and win the trophy? That'd be crazy, wouldn't it be? So I think that's definitely one of the big things that's on the mind of Alabama. I definitely think the team and the coaches are grateful to make it this far. In terms of the competition they're going to have to deal with, I do think that's an interesting conversation because you have teams like Georgia, you know, that are undefeated with 2 ties. And that's one of those games where you really need to show up, because not only are you trying to make a statement and get out of this, you know, losing record gutter you're in, but you're also trying to beat teams that have not suffered losses, and you're kind of having to overcome every single person in the thing. You're like the ultimate Cinderella team at that point.
Yeah.
Because every game is an upset if you win it. So it's definitely going to be a strong task for Alabama. As to whether or not I think they got it in the bag, like Spencer said, it's a complete reset. I think whoever wants it more is going to get it, and I see no reason to believe why Alabama can't get it.
And we'll certainly, with the remote show, we'll get to, well, Theodore Fernandez will be joining us, who is currently the interim play-by-play voice for the ACHA and AAU, or the team that plays in Division I College Hockey South. We were talking about this before the show and trying to understand the different acronyms and how confusing some of these things can be. So it is the AAU team for Alabama. And the men's team, they play in Division I of College Hockey South. There's also the ACHA team, which is Madison Radke, who's the GM for the AAU team. So shout out to her on giving the clarification. In essence, CHS is kind of the SEC when it comes to the hockey equivalent, and ACHA or AAU is, let me make sure I don't misquote her on here because I probably will. There we go. CHS is equivalent to the SEC, where AAU is like the NCAA in terms of the regulating body on that. So shout out to Madison Radke, who hopefully we'll be able to talk to her on the remote show on Monday as well. But in terms of this Alabama team that's in the College Hockey South Division I standings, that's the AAU team. And anyways, going back to what I was talking about with Theodore Fernandez is the voice that both the ACHA and the AAU men's teams, and he'll be joining us on the remote show on Monday and getting to talk with them to get insights heading into the postseason. I'm really interested to see how their mindset is as they head into this tournament. Again, like you said, as a sixth seed and kind of an extra motivation as a losing team. And another interesting note that stands out to me, sent both the Division I and women's teams are participating this weekend in the tournament. Four of the teams on both brackets have both men's and women's teams. It's Georgia, South Carolina, Tampa, and Alabama. Tennessee and Florida are Division I newcomers on this tournament. So it, especially for Florida with having a losing record getting in the tournament, how about the Volunteers getting back into the postseason?
Yeah, definitely a big deal for them because they, you know, being in second place in the whole, like, you know, conference is kind of a testament to how good they are when it comes to coming back from less successful seasons. I think Tennessee is definitely one of the favorites to come out of this whole thing on top. You know, we have mentioned, you know, multiple times already that even though it is a reset, you still cannot take the previous records for granted, and I think they are testaments to show how good these teams are because these wins and losses come from cannibalizing each other all season. Like, you know, these people have seen each other. This isn't new territory. So Tennessee is definitely, you know, more than capable of winning the whole thing. They're just barely trailing behind Georgia in the total pointage. So I think that this is going to probably come down to Georgia-Tennessee, but upsets can happen. We see it in every sport. So for me personally, and my slight Alabama bias, I want to say any of these teams, honestly, can realistically make it all the way. But there is a really tight competition with the 1 and 2 seeds, and Georgia and Tennessee are not teams to take lightly. So I think that'll be really interesting going forward as far as Division I is concerned.
It is going to be one of those incredible matchups to witness for any of them throughout that Division I bracket, and we'll get to see all of those, both the Division I men's bracket and the women's bracket, taking place in Athens, Georgia, February 7th through 9th, and all those games on the College Hockey South YouTube channel. All right, as we mentioned, we won't really have any discussion about the Division II bracket since Alabama does not have a team in Division II for College Hockey South. But on the Division III side, that tournament taking place February 20th through 23rd in Coral Springs, Florida, as teams compete for the Picked Sweet Cup down in the Sunshine State. And there, it's interesting how they actually format this bracket. They've got 10 teams total, 5 from each division, because they've got so many teams in Division III. And they've got the top 5 teams from the North and South divisions for Division III qualify. But they also have Thursday 2 play-in games that determine who will get into who will actually get into the bracket. And so right now they've got the North teams have already clinched, including Alabama took up that final slot in the North. You've got, as it stands right now, in order of 1 through 5 in the North, South Carolina clinched number 1 overall seed. They don't have to be in that play-in game on Thursday. Same situation for the number 2 seed in the North in Tennessee, as well as number 3 Kennesaw State and but that's at least for the top three seeds. But Georgia, they did clinch a playoff berth, but they have to participate in the play-in game where they will face off against to be determined, and we'll get to that. So in the South, only two teams have clinched playoff berths in the Division III South section. Florida Atlantic has the number one overall seed for the South, and that number two seed is taken up by Florida State in the Seminoles. We were also joking about this beforehand. There are pretty much the South is all Florida teams in Division III. There's just so many teams from Florida in this section.
Yeah, I'm going to assume that Embry-Riddle and Rollins College are both also in Florida. Those are the only two without Florida in the name, aside from Miami, which we do know is in Florida. So I guess it's just safe to assume that that entire, you know, division is in Florida. So
yeah, it's a lot of teams that are down in down in that section of the country. And right now, Florida Atlantic and Florida State are the only two teams that have clinched playoff berths right now. As it stands, if the season were to end today, Florida, the Gators from Gainesville hold the number three seed. Number four seed is Florida Tech, and then South Florida is at the five seed. And if that were to play out the way it is, Alabama would face off against Florida Tech in one of the play-in games on Thursday, February 20th, and South Florida would collide with Georgia in that play-in game as well. And Alabama, if they win against Florida Tech, they would face off against South Carolina in the quarterfinal matchup. And when I look at this bracket, I look at a collision of teams from so many different parts of the country and so many different sections, other than the South being so many of them from Florida. But I also commend the Division III men's team for being able to punch their ticket to the playoffs, especially with six wins, five losses, and one tie to get to 13 points, just to barely beat out Austin Peay State University for that playoff spot. So the Alabama Frozen Tide for the Division III men's scene. Somehow, some way, they managed to find a way.
So, yes. So, first, quick detour. I can confirm now all of the South schools are from Florida.
I was about to ask if you were going to look that up.
Yes, I just did. You got one from Dayton Beach, and we have one from Winter Park. So, yes, they are both from Florida. But back to the topic, yes. Yeah, this is a really interesting case for Alabama because, unlike D1, you know, this is not a circumstance of format where it's like they made it in because they need X number of teams in and they just barely met the criteria. This is kind of a, you know, Alabama team that did have to fight their way in to ensure that, you know, a team like Austin Peay did not make it in, just barely getting over and clinching that last spot for the North Division. Similar to D1, you have two clear-cut teams that are just on a warpath of dominance, and then everyone else is kind of in a similar position of trying to get to that, you know, S-tier of power. So I think, you know, this will be one of those circumstances where Alabama has to kind of play the role of a dark horse. And I think, you know, when we say that about D1, it kind of feels like, okay, they're the Cinderella. I don't know about Dark Horse.
Yeah.
Definitely the Cinderella. Here, I would say Dark Horse. And the reason I say that is because, you know, between, you know, the six wins and five losses, they even have a tie in there. This is a team that has consistently shown that they do not give up. And their losses are not, like, insane, like, smack-in-the-face losses. They're mm-hmm. really, you know, okay, man, we just let that one get away, man. Like, you know, so this will be one of those teams where if they make a minimal amount of mistakes and their defense really shows up, they have a solid shot realistically.
And I, even looking, and you're talking about teams that seem like they're terrorists. I mean, South Carolina, 22 points, not a single loss. They're 11-0. You've got Tennessee that's at 10-1-1. But you've also got Florida Atlantic there at 9-2. They're only a couple points back from Tennessee. Florida State has not played as many games. They're at 8-1-1, so it, you could look at it as top heavy. But I think you're right about South Carolina looks like the favorite to win this entire thing. But Alabama could try to be the dark horse. As you said, they've had close losses and they've competed in their matchups and had tightly contested games. And I'm even interested. I know they're at 8-4 and 16 points, but I wonder if Kennesaw State could maybe get something done, because they just have to face off against they have to face off against Florida State, so that's going to be a tough semi. But I also wonder if there's any sort of favored vantage points here for not just the two teams that have the over the number one seeds and first round buys, but the teams on the other side of the semi. Florida State and Kennesaw State, as I mentioned, but then Tennessee and Florida, if the season were to end today, they would play in that other semi, and then their major challenge to get to the CHS championship game or the Pick Suite Cup would be either South Carolina or Florida Atlantic.
Well, I mentioned, experience goes a long way, and when I look at this Kennesaw State team, what do I see? I see 8 wins, 4 losses. I look at Florida State, what do I see? I see 8 wins, 1 loss. Clearly, Kennesaw State has more experience, just judging by that game count. So I think when you look into things here, Kennesaw State's going to have more of that level of competition, brought face-to-face. They're seeing some of these CHS teams, and they know more of what they're getting into, and going to play a team like Florida State is definitely going to be a nice reminder of where they are, but it's not going to be something new. Like, this isn't something they've never seen before. So I think Kennesaw State has a really good chance to beat Florida State and also go farther into the tournament.
Well, for that Division III tournament, at least the teams get a little more warmth in the winter, with that being in late February and down in Coral Springs, Florida. And interesting note on that as well. So with Miami, this is a note from the actual bracket there, is 2025 will crown a new conference tournament champion, as the defending champions Miami and the 2024 runner-up Florida Southern have moved up to Division II, paving the way for new contenders to rise. So it'll be cool to see a new Division III champion. You like to see that parity in sports.
Yeah, that's totally what we like to see, said the Alabama fans. Ha, 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 ha. Yeah,
well, we love to see parody when it's we're covering it as neutral members, but when you're wearing the Sanskrit and seeing it in the seats at Brian Denny, it's a whole different feeling, but it should shape up to be a good bracket for the Division III section, which the Division II tournament also occurs at that same weekend in Coral Springs, Florida, for College Hockey South. All the games, all the coverage will be on the CHS YouTube page. All right. So we announced this on Monday on our social media page, and we are going to continue to hype it on our social media no matter what, because we want to pack out Jalapenos in downtown Tuscaloosa Monday, February 3rd, 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. The show will start around 5:30, and we'll go until we're done. It's going to be a live show on our YouTube channel. It's going to be on location, and we're going to talk to every one of the Alabama teams in the hockey scene. It should be a ton of fun. The cliche certainly is labor of love, and you can talk about other things of hard work, dedication, sacrifice, all of that behind the scenes to get this going. But I tell you, this is probably going to be one of the most fun times that we've had here at the Capstone, because of all the guests that we're trying to get on for all the teams and the coaches. Lauren Dillon from College Hockey South is going to join us to talk about previewing the playoffs and her role with CHS. We're also going to talk to Giovanni Gomez, one of the managing partners at Jalapenos. I was hyping this up to you before the show, Preston. When we get to taste some products,
I'm so ready.
Because you've never been to Jalapenos either.
No, I haven't. I love so many places in this town. Never been there, so this will be a first.
Our producer Annie just had her mouth wide open off camera at that. She was just rolling. Have you been to Jalapenos before? Okay, she's been. Yeah, you could tell by the look in her eyes. She's ready for the fajita gumbo on Monday or the rest of the product. Don't roll your eyes at me off camera.
My southern soul did a backflip when you said fajita gumbo. That's an interesting combination of words.
it's good, trust me. Shout out to Alex Booth. We got to do this last school year for Adapted Athletics. We got to do a remote show at their Northport location and taste all their products. It was good. It's always so good whenever we're at Jalapenos. But more importantly, it's also a fundraiser night for all the hockey teams. So it's a percentage night. So a portion of your purchase for food will go right back to evenly dispersed with the hockey teams and everybody who is participating. So Bring yourself, bring your friends, bring your family, tell your friends' friends to bring your friends' friends, tell everybody to descend upon Jalapenos Tuscaloosa. There are no other Alabama hockey games going on Monday, so you have there's no athletics conflicting with it, and that's also the Monday. There's no Monday Night Football. There's no other sports going on that'll really conflict, so what else could you be doing other than come over to Tuscaloosa? If you're in Birmingham, make the drive down for the support night. If you're in Tuscaloosa, you should walk down or drive down, whatever it is. We want to pack the place. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Don't make excuses. You got time. I'm just kidding.
Let me also just break down for you our schedule right now for the Frozen Hour Remote Show. We're going to start out with we'll have our normal introduction. We'll do something like we start out with the podcast and talk about several things that are going on in the environment as well as with the podcast. We will start out after that with the Division III men's players, followed by the Division III coaches that will be joining us. We're also joined by a slew of different on-air talent. As we mentioned, Hannah Alpern isn't able to join us because she has scheduling conflicts, but Preston will be there. I'll be there. Kate Aitchison will be there, as well as we're adding on Riley Mercer, who will be joining us, one of the incredible on-air talents and seniors here at the University of Alabama. Emma Curl, the on-ice reporter for the Division III men's team, will be joining us throughout the weekend as well because her schedule opened up to join us, so happy to have her. Well, we mentioned also Theodore Fernandez is joining us, who is the lead voice currently for the ACHA and AAU Division I men's ice hockey teams. And Will Morrow, our other counterpart and co-host, will be joining us as well for that. For the Division III portion, Will Morrow and Emma Curl will be talking about the players and the coaches. And we'll also have an interactive element. If you're in the audience, we're going to try to get some engagement with you, whether that's asking questions to the panelists or we find some fun segment where you talk about jalapenos, stuff like that. It's going to be so much fun, so be sure to come out and be ready to participate on the fun side of it. Division III players will be first. Then we're followed by the AAU D1 players and coaches. Theodore and Riley will tee you guys up for that. Kate Aitchison and I will be talking to the Lauren Dillon from College Hockey South while Emma Curl goes around and tries to get fan engagement and or questions during her segment. And then Preston and I will get to talk to the women's players. We actually... I did get the player names. So Savannah, I apologize if I am saying this before it goes on social media, but you got 2 days when the podcast happens. But Kate Saber, the newest assistant captain for the team, will be joining us, and Claire Carson, the newest president of the women's hockey club. We've been talking about Claire Carson all season long, like all podcast long, and how much of a tear it is. I'm really excited to talk to her. I got to work with her during the Veterans Cup. She was a camera operator for the broadcast for the CHS YouTube page for that tournament. So it was pleasant to have a conversation with her. And now we'll actually get to talk with her about the team and heading into the postseason. And also with the coaches, Kevin Davis and Anya Laxton. As much as we've been talking and hyping them up throughout the season, you and I will get to talk with them and build up the playoffs and everything and then engage with the crowd and everything. I could tell by that big grin on your face, you're really ready for that.
I am really ready for it because we've been trying to get these people on the podcast all season. It's such a good opportunity to finally put them in front of the camera and just have a great old discussion with them. It feels like College Game Day, kind of. Like it's just a big old episode of College Game Day for hockey. If that's what you're into, come get it. If you want to get some fajita gumbo while you're at it, come get it.
Yeah, fajita gumbo or any of the other dishes they have there at Jalapenos, it'll all be very satisfying. If anyone remembers SpongeBob, good for your soul. It's not necessarily the good for you, but good for your soul. And again, that section, each of these segments are separated by about 15, 20 minutes approximately. So we have the D3 players that will start around 5:45 p.m. The Division I AAU players, 6:15 to about 6:45. Between 6:45 and 7:15 is when we'll have Lauren Dillon on the show. And then about 7:15 to 7:45, they will be the players for the women's team and Kate Saber and Claire Carson, followed by the women's coaches in Kevin Davis and Anya Laxton. And then to round out the night, we will have the ACHA Division I players, Theodore Fernandez and Will Morrow, will be taking the lead on that from 7:45 to 8:15 to preview, to talk about their update on the season, as their playoffs don't start till about mid to late March, as we were talking about. So they've got plenty of time on that. And then we'll close with Giovanni Gomez from Jalapenos. All of us will be there on that introduction as well. So should be a really fun remote show. We're really looking forward to it. All right, we got our odd topic for this podcast here. Again, we started out saying this seemed it's not the word taboo, but it seemed kind of weird to talk about it. But Tuscaloosa has so many great restaurants, and Jalapenos being one of them. But we've been here for about a couple of years now. I've been here in Tuscaloosa for 3 years. You've been pretty much in Alabama your entire life for the most part, and you've been around Tuscaloosa and Alabama for several years now. So you have a favorite restaurant in T-Town.
So when I was a freshman starting things out, it was in the middle of the pandemic. A lot of stuff was closed. I was looking for places to eat. I didn't know where to go. I didn't do any campus tours prior to coming here or nothing. I was just dropped in to the epicenter of the capstone, completely blind. And I was just wandering around until I found a place. And my nose led me to a little place on the corner of Bryant Denny Stadium. That place is called Ramajamas. Everyone's heard of it. One of the best places in Tuscaloosa.
I still need to go. I've heard great things.
Ramajamas breakfast, boom. Mm. Ramajamas burger, boom. It's all amazing. Got great support staff. You got great food, great atmosphere. It's very decorative. You know, if you want to see a lot of Alabama's history, there's a lot in there. Yeah, I think they just recently put in some hockey stuff in there too.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, if you want to see some Alabama representation of any sport ever, go to Ramajamas. They were featured on ESPN's Taste of the Town on a few occasions. Absolutely great stuff. I'll never forget former owner Gary, who used to be there. He also was the creator of the Houndstooth bars before he opened up Ramajamas. Awesome guy. He recently sold it to Michael, who's now the owner. So shout out to Michael. Shout out to Ramajamas. I used to play live music there. Sorry, I don't anymore. I'm kind of doing a lot now. But yeah, so Roll Tide, go to Ramajamas, best place in T-Town.
Maybe your mind will change when you go to Jalapenos on Monday and taste that fajita gumbo and some of the other dishes. It might, but I will say I have not been to Ramajamas yet. I definitely, it is on the list before I graduate this May to go there, and I've heard so many great things, especially their breakfast is what's really been hyped up to me. So I have not been there, but it's also amazing because we're here in Reese Pfeiffer Hall. It's just on the other side of the stadium, and I know their hours are a little bit more earlier in the day, like usually like 7 to 5 or 7 to 3, something like that. But I've heard really great things about that place, and I'll have to go at some point. That might be one of the Preston and Spencer ventures. Like once the season is over, we might head over there or something.
See, it's our version of Taste of the Town, except we call it Bite of the Village or something, because you can't get sued for saying Taste of the Town. Village. I don't know.
We'll call it the Alabama. I'm trying to think of a synonym for bite that starts with an A.
Alabama Appetite Hour. Book it.
Yes, absolutely. Alabama Frozen Hour. Eat something. We'll just eat something. Jalapenos is pretty good, at least in terms of my preferred restaurants thus far that I've had here in T-Town. I've had Chuck's once. Great experience there with their sushi. De Palmas is also really good. Now, of course, it's whenever they're open or they decide to serve, because I've heard things of sometimes they decide, well, we're not doing to-go orders right now, or, oh, we're not seating anybody else, or, oh, we're closing really early or really late, which can be a good or bad thing, and depending on what side of that you're on. But De Palmas was good when I've had it. Five Bar is really good, especially at their execution of just their five like entrees with their different combinations. They've got some good food there. Jalapenos is sticking out in my mind, and not just because we're going there on Monday. I promise you that. But
he's got that fajita gumbo in his brain. He can't stop thinking about it.
It's so good. When you experience it, you will understand. It's the whole, like, it's this whole soup of a mixed fajita that's chicken, steak, and shrimp.
Oh, I'm excited for it. I'm absolutely looking forward to it.
I think they also added a different gumbo that's steak, chicken, and sausage for those who are allergic to shrimp or shellfish. Like, they launched that when we did our remote show in fall of 23 with Adapted Athletics, and it was – oh, it's – you're going to love it. Like, they have just so many good things there, and it's just such a good good experience, and we're going to have a lot of fun on there. So it's another good podcast, even though it was just us two today. We had some good conversation, and looking forward to running it back in an even more rambunctious, lively environment. I have a feeling we're going to get some really passionate Crimson Tide fans out there on Monday.
Oh, absolutely. I'm so excited.
See, he just leaves. You can tell how excited he is without going off it. That's just, you leave it at just excited. It's you have every right
sorry,
to be.
I had that fajita gumbo on the brain. Can't stop thinking about it.
He's gonna start looking at their menu again and look at the item and realize how great it is. And
I've
wonder.
Said those two words in this podcast more than I think I ever had in my whole life.
It's gonna be a lot of fun. Couple of housekeeping things again. One last thing we do need to mention. This Saturday, the women's team will be playing the Alabama Yellowhammer men's team. It was originally going to be a red-on-white scrimmage. They got an opponent in the Yellowhammer men's team, so that will be on the practice rink in Pelham. That will be Saturday night. Puck drop is at 8:15. We will live stream that on Black Dog Hockey, so be sure to join us for that. We'll be on that backup arena for only the second time. This season, because of Birmingham's minor league team being in action, so we'll be
go Bulls, baby.
Yeah, the Bulls will be in full action, so we'll be on the practice rink. But be sure to join us on Black Dog Hockey for the game. It should be a lot of fun, and you'll probably hear fajita gumbo a whole bunch more times during that scrimmage as well. So it should be a lot of fun. But again, Monday, 5 p.m. to 9 p.m., fundraiser night at Jalapenos downtown Tuscaloosa. We'll be there on location. Show will start around 5:30, but be sure to join us for the whole night and support all of the hockey teams with a percentage night. It's going to be a ton of fun, and we're excited to bring it to you live on YouTube as well for those of you who can't make it. But again, if you can make the effort, come on out and support all of the hockey teams. But that's going to wrap it up for this week's episode of the Alabama Frozen Hour. So Monday is going to be our show. We will not have a regularly recorded show on Tuesday or release on Thursday because of all the chaos of the live show and because of the playoffs being in action like that Friday. We'll be traveling more than likely on Thursday. So be sure to tune in for that. And it will only be on YouTube. It will not be distributed on other podcast platforms later on. But that's going to wrap it up for today. For Preston McElhaney, our producer, Annie Soukalos, all the hardworking men and women that make this run so smoothly, I'm Spencer Thompson saying so long from Reese Pfeiffer Hall. Once again, another episode of the Alabama Frozen Hour is in the books.
Baba Booey. I had to get it in the last minute.